The following study is a Sunday morning lesson given by Pastor Brett Metter at Athey Creek Christian Fellowship.
Would you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5? It's where we are in our Through the Bible study. If you're new here, I like to remind people that we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book through the Bible. We don't skip a verse. Wednesday night's where we kind of get to the meat and potatoes of our Bible study. On Sundays, however, I like to take a little bit of that text that we're going to study on Wednesday and sort of zero in and zoom in on a verse or try to get the nuance of what's being talked about contextually in our upcoming study. So that's what we're doing today. It's Deuteronomy chapter 5 is where we're going to begin. Our main verse is going to be the first verse of that chapter. But I'm also going to show you a few other things as we in chapter 5 and chapter 6 that I want us to see. Deuteronomy 5:1. It says, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them." Again, hear, learn, keep, do. He starts off this dissertation with those four main concepts. Hear, learn, keep, do. This is what I want for you, the Lord would say to the people of Israel. Hear, learn, keep, and do. In fact, let's jump ahead and kind of do a few sneak previews of coming attractions on Wednesday night. At the end of verse 27, it says, "And we will hear it and do it," it says there in verse 27, right at the end. Hear and do. Also, it says in verse 29, we looked at this last Sunday, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and then with their children forever." Verse 31, toward the end of that, it says, "Which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess." Verse 32, "You shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you." Go on to chapter 6. Let's jump ahead there a little bit. It says there in chapter 6, the Lord God, verse 1, right in the middle of that verse, "The Lord God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land whither you go." Verse 2, "That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes." Look at verse 3. "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." You see, the point is, in all these commandments, statutes, and judgments that Moses is going to be sharing with the people, which we're going to look at in detail on Wednesday night, all the verses we're skipping here today, one of the nuances that we need to really understand is how much Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying, "I want you guys to hear what I'm saying from the Lord. I want you to learn about what I'm saying. I want you to keep those things in your heart, and I want you to do that which the Lord has commanded you." And he says that over and over and over again, not just in 5 and 6, but we're going to see that really throughout the rest of Deuteronomy, but also really throughout the rest of the Bible. The idea of hearing, keeping, learning, doing, it's something that the whole Bible emphasizes. And when you see something in the Bible that's repeated over and over again, you have to say, okay, why is it there over and over again? And I've learned, as I've been studying the Bible, and you too, we've learned that when the Lord repeats himself, he's not doing it just because he's got nothing else to say. But he's repetitive because repetition is the mother of all learning. Repetition helps us remember things, and also it's sort of a checklist from time to time to say, how am I doing on this one? Am I a good hearer, learner, keeper, and doer of the word? That's really all we're going to do today, is just meditate on that idea. How are you doing in the area of hearing the word and learning the word and keeping the word and doing it? So we're going to break that down. Number one, if you're taking notes, let's consider and meditate upon the idea of hearing. Now, hearing, it's not just listening. Listening and hearing are two different things, because you can hear stuff but not be listening at the same time. Wives, you know when your husband, you're talking to him and he's got that glazed look and he's sort of looking at something else, maybe the television, I'm just suggesting, and you're talking to him. Have you ever been tempted, ladies, to say, you know, hubby, what did I just say to you? The guy's like, yeah, she does that to me. I've had to answer that question a time or two. Take it from a little experience, just don't try to answer that. Just say, honey, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. Would you please forgive me? And tonight we'll go out to dinner and, you know, that's the little, something I've learned over the years in marriage. But anyway, but it's not just the husbands. It's human nature and it's really the culture that we live in. We're not that great at hearing anymore. We're quick to tune things out. And I remember the Peanuts. Remember the cartoon Peanuts? Whenever the adults talk, remember what it is? Wah, 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 wah. And that's really our culture, you know. Have you ever talked? There's certain people, I'm sure none of you are those people, but there's certain people that when they talk to you, have you ever noticed that you want to listen to them, but it's really hard to, and you just kind of start to glaze over as they're talking to you, and they're telling you stuff, and you're just trying to listen, but sometimes it's just hard. That's, you know what? That's just our human nature and our tendency, and it's a muscle that if you don't use it, it atrophies really bad. The idea of being a good listener. And so I would like to challenge us to maybe consider, how am I doing on this idea of hearing? Am I a good hearer? Now, hearing is important, and I'll tell you, it's really, really important. Why is it important? Well, let's do some math here scripturally, because the math is important. In fact, let's put it this way. Let me ask you this. Is faith important? Of course, right? Well, it's not a trick question. You guys were looking at me puzzled, like, is faith important? That scares me a little bit. You guys should have said, yeah, it's important. Faith is important because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So is faith important? Yes, thank you. In fact, the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. What does that mean? It's just Ephesians 2:8, where it says you're saved by grace through faith, not of your works, lest any man should boast. What the Bible teaches, even though maybe you've been taught other things by other people in times where you hopefully your good outweighs your bad and you'll make it to heaven if you're good enough, the problem with that is nobody's good enough. We've all fallen short. We've all sinned. We've all messed up royally, the Bible says, but while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins. He took our place. He died on the cross, was buried, and then he rose from the grave like he said he would, proving his claim to save the world from his sin, from the sins of the world. So what's the deal there? You have to understand, it's faith. So you're saved by grace. That's God's love that he's shown you that's undeserved. You didn't earn it. It's just God saying, I love you so much, I'm going to save you. You're saved by grace. Man, that's the greatest thing of all, don't you think? Because, you know, have you ever felt guilty? Like, man, I just don't know if I'm good enough or, you know, holy enough. But the truth is you're not, according to the Bible. But he's the one who makes you holy. He's the one who imputes righteousness on you, the Bible teaches. And that's because he's gracious. And then it's through faith that you receive that grace. So it's by grace you're saved through faith, not of your works. Okay, so in order to be saved, you got to have faith. So without faith, you and I, we're in big trouble. Now, we're doing the scriptural math here. So you know that faith is important. Question, how is faith, if you're a Bible student and you read your Bible, how is faith built up? Anybody? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God, Romans tells us. What's that? The Bible says that your faith comes by hearing. That's why this first point of today's study here, where Moses says there to the people of Israel, hear, O Israel, listen up. You gotta hear, because without hearing, that's the very elementary, basic level. If you're not hearing, you're gonna be in big trouble. And I think the same is true with us today. We need to be those who become good hearers, that we tune in and that we listen. Some of you are old enough to remember the 2-minute long commercial on TV. It's funny how it's kind of evolved, huh? If you're old enough, you remember the 2-minute Tide commercial or soap commercials. Anybody remember those 2 minutes long? Yeah, some of you, the old people are like, yeah, I remember that. And then, I do too, I remember that. But then I remember they boiled it down to 1 minute. and we watched 1 minute commercials. Then it was 30 seconds, and that was that for a long time, 30 second commercials. And then remember the Super Bowl started introducing 10 second commercials, remember that? And then they'd come back and they'd do a 10 second commercial, and then another commercial, and then they'd come back and they realized, and here's why they started doing that. They found the average person who was watching TV, they have an average attention span of 4 seconds. Four. Congratulations, humanity. Look what we've done to ourselves. 4 seconds. If they don't catch you in the first 4 seconds, the commercial's a dud. Now, it's weird because I'm kind of a fan of old movies, you know, the old black and white movies. And I've noticed that the younger generation, now I sound like an old guy, the young whippersnappers, they don't like old movies. And here's the problem. If you sit down with a young person and say, this is a great movie, check this out, and the black and white movie comes on and there's no color, and the first scene isn't a bunch of crazy graphics and computer-generated images, and there's not shooting and falling off cliffs and flying helicopters, but it's a really boring beginning. Old movies are super boring at the beginning. And here's what happens, though. They actually develop these characters in the old movies, and it takes usually like half hour, 45 minutes before it even starts to get interesting. But here's my old school argument. If you stick with it, it's really rewarding, because some of the old movies are the best. And by the time they developed all the characters and you've taken all the work and time to kind of sit through the first part, then eventually it kind of comes around and it becomes this great ending. And I love old movies because they always end good too. And the new movies, it's like they end all depressing and everybody dies and it's like the end. Welcome to movies. But no. What happened? The younger generation, we don't have the attention span. You guys are not willing to sit through that first part. But I wonder if that's a muscle in your brain that needs to be developed to be good hearers. Now, I'm going to deal with a little family business here, church family business, because this kind of pertains to what we do. I'm just going to give you a heads up here at Athey Creek, because one of the things the Bible says, in fact, when you hear Paul teaching the pastor, young Timothy, Timothy, here's how you're a good pastor. And he explains it in great detail. He says, Timothy, you're going to be the pastor of the church at Ephesus. So to be a good pastor, you need to put the brethren and the sister in remembrance of the word of God. Remind the people the word of God. He says stuff like this. Timothy, give attention to the reading of Scripture. He tells Timothy, he says, that the word of God is inspired and it's good for teaching, for instruction, and for rebuke and correction. These are the things Paul tells Timothy, man, be into the word. In fact, listen to this. Paul says to Timothy, make sure and study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or teaching the word of truth. What's that? Well, if you go back to the early church, one of the most important parts of church life was what they called the apostles' doctrine. That's just teaching the word of God. So at Athey Creek, one of our goals is to say, how can we get back to the early church practice? What did the early church look like before we got all weird and did stupid things? Throughout church history, there's some really rich things that we can glean from, but there's also things the church did that were not so cool. So our goal is to say, wow, we've got the book of Acts, we got the epistles of Paul that sort of says, here's what the church is supposed to be, here's what the church is supposed to do. And it's actually pretty amazingly simple. But one of the big emphasis is simply just to teach the word of God. Now, all that to say, that's why we do that here at Athey. We spend a lot of time just going through the Bible, teaching, cover to cover. And I'm just going to be honest with you. It's work, especially for you. You got to sit through my long, tedious teachings through the scriptures. If you're new here, I'm just getting started, by the way. If you're new, you're like, man, aren't you done? My last church is 20 minutes, sermonettes for Christianettes. That's what we did. But see, I believe the word calls us to be more than just surface kind of quick little homilies to make us feel good and go off and do happy little things. I think we're actually called to hear the scriptures, and then we're going to get to that next thing, number two on the list, to learn the scriptures. That's number two. He says, hear, O Israel, and learn. And that's what we're doing here at Athey Creek, is we're trying to learn the scriptures. Now, let me just say this. It's not me. You're not here because of me. You're here because this book that we hold in our hands is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible tells us that this book is good for instruction and for learning, for not just the priest or the pastors. And then you guys, as the congregation, you're just supposed to just kind of trust us to know the word. That's not what it says. It's amazing to me how there's places you can go and you don't even need your Bible. You don't even need to study, because you just say, well, the priest or the pastor, he knows what he's doing, so we'll just trust him. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells how the congregation is to be given steadfastly, Acts chapter 2, to the apostles' doctrine. That is the teaching of the word of God. Now, because we do that, we're a little bit weird on some things. I know it's weird to say we're going to have a church where we really spend some time digging and doing some work in the scriptures, long, tedious sermons. And this is one that gets people's gander really bad right here. This is what I was trying to tell you about before during the announcements. Some people say, Brett, why are you guys so brutal about having babies in the service? Lighten up. Don't you love children? Well, here's the thing. I love babies. I think babies are the most fun thing in the whole world. But here's the reason why we encourage parents to take their babies to the nursery. First, number one, I think it's brutal to go through an hour, hour and a half Bible study just for you big babies to have to endure, just to have to endure my long, tedious studies. That's just brutal. Man, it's work. It's blood, sweat, and tears to go through. But to hold a little baby and shush them for an hour and a half, that's just mean. I think you're a mean parent. Oh, I'm kidding. But the truth is, because we're doing some work in the Word and because we're in a big congregation that has tons of babies, it's really hard when... Now, here's the thing, point number two. When there's a baby in the service, all of you that are mothers or grandmothers, raise your hand if you're a mom or a grandma. Let's see how many there are in here. Every single one of these ladies, so just raise their hand. If there's even a sweet little coo that comes out of a baby, mothers have this little antenna. No, pardon me, a big satellite dish that comes up. Baby. Baby alert. Baby made a noise. Is it hungry? Is it tired? Does it need to be changed? And suddenly she's because God put it in her heart to care about little babies. Praise the Lord for that. Without that mother instinct, we'd all have been in big trouble. But because of that, it's really hard to have an effective Bible study with 30, 40, 500 babies in the service, which we could have. We really could have here at 8th grade, because like James says, we got lots of babies. So point number one, it's a long, tedious study. Point number two, it's really hard for moms to truly focus in on a Bible study if there's lots of babies in there. But number three, it's free babysitting for an hour and a half. We don't even charge you. And you can come in your moms and grandmas and just kind of chill and take in the word. And you've got world-class, top-notch babysitting that why wouldn't you do that? Like, that's the best thing I can think of. Free babysitting every week, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Saturday night. Man, if I were you, I'd come here on all three services, man. Drop off Junior. Because I know they've got medical professionals, they've got professional people, everybody's been police checked to make sure there's no criminals in there. I mean, it doesn't get any better than what we've got here. It's just an amazing thing. So that's point number three. So it's not that we're just being mean. I've got stacks of letters here of people who come and they say, I can't believe you were nudging us, telling us. That mean elder that came up and said, you know, which, by the way, none of them are mean. They're all really nice, and they all come up and act nicely. I know this for a fact. But it's funny, we get these letters of people who are just totally freaked out. And here's why. Because there's a lot of good churches you can go to where you can bring baby into the sanctuary, and it's no big deal. I talked to one pastor, and he was telling me, yeah, we let babies in the service. And he knew that we didn't, so he was kind of giving me a hard time. You know, we're kind of more gracious than you guys. And I was sort of, really? I said, like, so how many babies do you have at any given time in the service? And he said, well, we have three babies in the whole congregation. And there's a lot of gray hair in his congregation, a lot of gray haired people, and then three babies. And in a room that's small and tiny, it's no big deal. In a room that's big and with hundreds of babies, it doesn't work so well. Okay, Brett, what's the big deal about babies? Oh, it's not just the babies. That's just one. we try to encourage you and everybody in this congregation to take the congregational setting seriously. Some people might say, well, Brett, you guys are so casual. You're meeting kind of in a warehouse with windows, and it's casual, so we can do whatever we want in here. Well, actually, you'll find that, for example, if you're weak-bladdered, you weak-bladdered people, you know who you are. You shouldn't be having coffee right before service. You know, everybody's like, gook, 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 and then they're running back and forth. Now here's the thing. Weak-bladdered, like people that get up and have to use the restroom, I understand. But if you're one who's that, don't sit in the front row. If you have to get up all the time, don't sit in the front row. Because I'll give you a free pass, man. If you're just kind of covertly sneaking out, coming back in kind of low profile. But there's the guy that saunters around. I'm going to mess with you. If I see you, I'm going to start calling you out in front of everybody on TV. It'll be great. Oh, come on, bro. You wouldn't do that. Well, it's the guy that, now trust me, it's the guy that comes down like this. He's sitting in the front row, and he's sitting down there, and he's the guy that's like stretching. And you guys are all sitting. And then he walks, oh, he's got to use the bathroom. So he walks like this. You know, if that's you, I'm going to come down and lay hands on you. You know what I'm saying? A different kind of ministry, you know. But here's the thing. I'm just kidding. But there's a certain etiquette that I would encourage Athey Creekers to have and say, you know, we're not going to use this time. Well, here's another one. You guys will enjoy this. Back there was a lady. Well, I only know this because a bunch of people came up and told me after the service. I said, but during your teaching, there was a lady who busted out her fingernail clippers and just started clipping away. Snap, snap. Snap, and you know, she was collecting them, most of them, some of them, pure. This is what they told me. And she's clipping her nails during the teaching time, and after she finished her hands, then she reached down to get her toenails at the same time. Yeah. So now I said, are you kidding me? Well, one of our custodians was standing there hearing the story, and they said, yeah. In the old warehouse in Wilsonville, every weekend we'd come to the same seat, and there was a nice little pile of toenail clippings. So the lady apparently sat at the same seat every week, and that was her toenail clipping time. Didn't your mother teach you personal hygiene? Don't do that in a public setting, snapping your toenails. If that's you, if you're doing that right now, repent. I'm just saying. Hold on. Okay, back. Now, there's that. Then there's the guy surfing the net right now. You're on your iPad and you're looking at Travelocity.com right now. Some of you guys do that. I hear stories. Yeah, this guy was like looking up Bora Bora prices and stuff during the teaching. Man, you could do that at home. Why would you even be here, you know? Well, Brett, what if he's an unsaved guy? Shouldn't he be able to do that? Well, if he's surfing the net and doing the Bora Bora thing, I don't think he's going to get saved because he's not hearing. We want to encourage people to hear. And also, it's not just about getting people saved. It's also about building up our faith by learning the scriptures. And so, we encourage people just to kind of have good etiquette. You don't snap your toenails during a movie theater at Bridgeport, at least if, I think you might get beat up over there if you do that in a public setting. It's amazing what people know not to do at the theater, but they forget in a sanctuary where God is present and his holy word is the object of attention. So that's why at Athey Creek, if you sense a little bit of hardcore, like, hey, we're trying to make an atmosphere of discipline, study, and it's just for this time. We do other things where kids knock down, drag out, water slides, fun for the family, barbecues. We do all that fun stuff too, but this setting here is controlled for a purpose. That's to give God our undivided attention. Thank you. That's great. Well, since I got an applause, let me talk about one more thing. One more thing. I'm going to hurt some people here. But if you're a young couple and you love running your finger through his hair and stuff during the service, just running it through his hair. I know Mike Murug has this problem all the time, but... Where's Mike? That's bad. He's bald. Anyway, one of the pastors here, I like to give him a hard time. But, yeah, she's running the fingers and rubbing the back and all that. You think that's no big deal, but there's like 30 people around you just totally grossed out. I'm just saying. it's a bit of distraction if you're, Now, I'm all for husbands and wives being very affectionate in other places, just not here. Just kind of watch that a little bit over. Brett, are you kidding? No. How many of you guys have been distracted by the person that's going, yeah, me too. Not me, but I have been in other services and what have you. I that's the one I don't see as much. That's the people behind the people that see all that popping zits and stuff like that. Anyway, I've been told, yes, I've been told, please, please repent. Now, you say, Brett, that's horrible. But see, it's part of our culture. That's the problem. See, for me to talk about this stuff, some of you are like, I can't believe you're saying this stuff. But see, it wasn't that long ago, everybody kind of already knew this stuff. But this newer generation, we've kind of said, we have the right to do whatever we want in a congregational setting. But I think that's hurt us a little bit. We become bad hearers. It was Franklin Delano Roosevelt who was famous for having greeting lines there at the White House. And he'd go through, you know, hundreds of people and shake all their hands. And he'd try to say stuff. And he was real amiable and personable as he'd greet everybody. But it kind of struck him once that everything he said, it seemed to fall on deaf ears. People looked at him with glazed eyes. They were kind of starstruck. And they'd shake his head, hello, Mr. President. And they'd and so he'd say stuff, but they wouldn't even listen to what he said. So he started messing with people because he's just bored, shaking hands. He finally just said, this morning I killed my grandmother. And people would go, oh, that's wonderful. Oh, thank you. And they'd say it again, this morning I murdered my grandmother. And, oh, praise the Lord, good, good. Well, God bless you, President. And he just kind of got in there. He just kept saying that. Well, he said that quite a few times when finally the ambassador to Bolivia was coming through the line. And he said, this morning I murdered my grandmother. And he said, oh, that's nice. And then he leaned forward and said, I'm sure she had it coming. That's great. That's great. Somebody was listening, finally. But here's the thing, you guys. Have we become the glazed over people? Man, James 1:22 says, be ye hearers of the word, but not hearers only, but doers. We'll get to that in a minute. So hearing and learning, that's what we're here to do, is learn and to get some work done. In fact, the Bible talks about studying and laboring in the word. And the word labor in the original Greek text of the New Testament, when it talks about laboring, it means to the point of perspiration. So it is work. To go to this fellowship and to go through a long teaching like this, it takes some work and some sweat. I understand that. I'm just telling you what you're getting yourself into here at Athey Creek. We're going to keep plowing through and getting some work done, hopefully, in the Word. So hear, number one. Learn, number two. And then number three, the word here in our text, Moses says, not only hear, not only learn, but number three, keep. Keep. And that brings it to the next level. Once it goes in your hearing, hopefully it gets that far, then it gets to where you're learning stuff. And that's great. But the problem is, have you ever felt like sometimes you learn stuff and then it just goes in one ear and then out the other? What you've learned, you've kind of forgotten. The Bible tells us that we're to learn how to keep the things that we've learned. Moms and dads, here's a freebie for you. My dad and my mother used to review with our family what we went over on that Sunday morning service. Sometimes it'd be on the way home in the car. Okay, kids, so what did we learn today? And we'd talk about the scriptures that we heard and the things that we'd learned. And then my dad would challenge us to actually do the things that we were learning. He said, okay, this week, I want you to do this, Brett, Jenny, Tammy, I want you guys to do this and give it a whirl. And then I want you to tell me on the way to church next week how you did on that thing that you heard. So we actually put to practice what we've learned. And I want you to keep that in your heart. See, the word keep is more of a heart issue. Learning's a brain issue. Hearing is getting into your brain. You can learn stuff there in your brain, but then it's got to hit the heart so that you keep it, hang on to it, make it your own. And start to really live it for the rest of your life, keeping stuff in your heart. So thankful all the years of ministry. I know people who've really kept the things that they've heard and the things that they've learned. Got licensed and ordained at 19. And did weddings and funerals and lots of Bible studies over the years. But when I see one of my old youth group kids from back in the 80s, And I see them still walking with the Lord and keeping the things that they'd heard and learned and doing well. Man, it's just so encouraging. It does my heart well. I hope that Athey Creekers, we can see a lot of people who aren't just hearing, who aren't just learning, but they're actually keeping those things that are being taught from this book. Very important. So keeping, very, very key. Just because I'm taking the notes, just because I'm listening, doesn't mean that I'm keeping those things in my heart. I have to be careful about that. Well, number four on that list, it goes right there to doing. He says, that you may know the things that we've taught and learn and keep and do them. Good fruit comes from being a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. So James 1:22, that scripture that I was quoting earlier, you guys know that verse probably, a lot of you have heard it. But you know, there's a little second part that I think is kind of interesting. Let me just read it to you. It's James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." What's that mean? It means that you can hear and somehow deceive yourself into thinking you're a doer because you've heard it, but you're only deceiving yourself. And then James gives you an analogy. He says, listen, he says, if you're just a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're like unto the man beholding his natural face in a mirror, for he beholds himself and then goes his way and forgets what manner of man he was. What's that? That's just the King James way of saying, you're like the dude who walks up and looks in the mirror and sees a problem. Some of you have more problems than others, but as you look in the mirror, that was a joke. I'm just kidding. So you're like, it's not very nice. But like, it's the guy that comes in the mirror and he's got a blotch of mustard on his upper lip. And he looks and goes, oh man, I got a problem. I got mustard on my lip. But then he turns around and forgets that he's got mustard. He looked and saw it, and then he goes off to work, and all his friends say, hey man, you got some mustard. He's like, what, huh, over here? No, it's over here. What? And you missed it, even though the word pointed it out to you. See, that's what James says. You're like the man who looks in the mirror and forgets the problem and walks away. That's what happens when we just are hearers only, but not doers. Now, before we pack it up, Jesus dealt with this subject. And in kind of a profound way, and we'll finish with Jesus' words on this. Go with me, turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And let's see what Jesus has to say about the Word of God and hearing and how we hear it, how we receive it, whether we've learned. In fact, I think the four things that we're studying in Deuteronomy, the four things in order are hear, learn, keep, and do. I think these four things parallel the four things that Jesus talks about here in Mark chapter 4. Jesus starts out with this. Do you remember when your mom wanted you to listen? And she'd turn to you and sternly say, listen. Remember, you're jumping around, you're fidgety, you know, you're going, and mom grabs your little face and says, now listen to me. That's what Jesus is doing right here. How do I know? Well, notice how he starts it in chapter 4, verse 3. Jesus starts out and says, hearken. Now, we don't use that word. That's a King James word, hearken. At least I don't use it. Do you go to work and say, hearken unto me? You don't say that. People think you're weird. But in the King James, that's just the way we would say, hey, listen up. Listen up. So Jesus says, listen up. And then what's the second word? Behold. He says, hearken and behold. He starts off this rap he's about to give with two stern warnings, saying, listen up, tune in. And then he gives the dissertation. And then at the end, in verse 9, he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Question, do you think Jesus wants you to listen up to what he's about to say? This is a big one. He says it three times in the same dissertation. So he says, verse 3, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now, he's not going to knit a blouse or something like that. This is a farmer going out to sow seed, okay? So he says in verse 4, it came to pass as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up, and it choked, and it yielded no fruit. And the other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. In other words, 30 pieces of fruit or 60 pieces or 100 pieces of fruit. It was fruitful, that last one. There are four scenarios that Jesus teaches about here. And you say, well, what's this all about? Well, Jesus tells us. It's in verse 14. He kind of defines what he was talking about. In verse 14, he says, the sower, he goes out and sows the word of God. So what's that? The seed that the farmer is sowing in Jesus' analogy is the word of God. And if you would, the soil, the various kinds of soil, the hard, stony soil, the thorny soil, the birds that are plucking it out of the soil, that's if you would, the soil of your soul, your heart and your mind, whether you're hearing, listening, learning, keeping, it's that stuff. So the first scenario is verse 15. He says, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word and that was sown in their hearts. So the first scenario where the fowls of the air came and plucked up the seed of the word, he says that's what Satan wants to do. Could it be that one of the reasons you and I don't hear the word is sometimes the enemy robs us right before it even hits your ears, before it even has a chance to take root in your soul? Satan's just picking it out. How does that look? Could be a million ways. Speaking of babies in the service, maybe this is why I'm so weird about all that, but when I was a kid, I got this little comic book, and it was this Christian tract talking about demonic stuff. Little weird, honestly, but there was some funny cartoons I remember looking at as a little kid. One of the cartoons was showing how Satan was distracting people in church because, so the way the cartoon is, all the people in the congregation were listening and the pastor was speaking, but then all of a sudden the next picture, everybody's turning around looking and there's this baby in the back screaming and the mom's holding, trying to, you know, and the baby's screaming. And then the next picture, it shows this sort of faint, halfway visible demon pinching the baby's toe. And it's just kind of a funny picture. He's like, and he's pinching the toe, and everybody's losing track. Could it be that the birds of the air, Satan's trying to pick the seed out before you even get to really hear the word of God? Well, Brett, it's pretty quiet in here right now. I don't hear any babies right now. But, you know, there's other things than that. Maybe you're just still mad at me saying that, Brett, he's a baby hater. You're so mad at me for what I said about babies right now. You're like, I'm not listening to another word he says. Some of you, maybe that's you. Maybe you're distracted. I can't believe how much money this church spent on those windows. or whatever it is, you know, a critical attitude. You know, we're kind of critical people, some of us more than others. And man, just the attitude we might have about this or that, even though there you might even have some legitimate concerns. But man, just that legitimate concern can become the distracting element that keeps the word from entering your heart and producing good fruit. So the first one is the hearing linked to the birds of the air. Before it even gets in your ears, it's plucked out by the enemy, Satan himself. Jesus talked about that. So there's hearing. What was number two on our list in Deuteronomy? Hearing, then learning. Let's see what Jesus said in point number two. He says, likewise, in verse 16, he says, these are they likewise which are sown, the seed that's sown on stony ground, who when have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. Who are these people? Jesus says, these are people that hear the word and go, oh, praise God. Glory. Amen, brother. Preach it, Brett. And you're like all into it, saying, that was a good word, good teaching today, and you walk out. But then at the first sign of trouble, that teaching never really took root deeply in your heart where you were practicing it, living it, making it real in your life, but it was just a surfacey thing, so that as soon as the little sign of trouble comes, man, forget that, and you go into this other mode where you just totally forget, and the springing up fruit gets withered away as soon as the sun comes out. as soon as the heat is turned up. Man, that's why I hope you take it from hearing to learning and then to keeping the word in your heart. If it's kept, when things get tough. Do you remember Daniel and his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? No doubt their parents were murdered, killed. Then they were taken into captivity into Babylon in 586 BC. And there the king, Nebuchadnezzar, the practice of the Babylonians was to take your enemies and get the coolest, best looking, most physically fit people that you've captured and conquered, and you train them up to be the leaders, but you try to make them sort of Babylonian so that the conquered people sort of assimilate into their culture. That was the way they did it back then. Well, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among these young, brilliant kids who were taken by Nebuchadnezzar. And the first thing Nebi does is he says, Daniel, you guys, I'm going to feed you with my meat and my wine, the king's meat and the king's wine. But because Daniel had the word of God in his heart, probably given to him by his parents back in Israel, by the time he's in Babylon, when the heat's turned up, he says, I will not defile myself with the king's meat of Babylon and with his wine. And so he tells the servant of Nebuchadnezzar, I'm not going to do it. And the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. That's when you know the teaching of God's word is set in your heart. When it's not just, you know, hey, I know what the Bible says. And, we'll see. When things get tough, I'll see what I do at the time. No, you're determined and purposed to do what the word says. You guys remember back in the 80s when Nancy Reagan, first lady, she was the anti-drug first lady, and she came up with that mantra, you know, just say no. Remember that? Some of you that are older? But the problem with just saying no is it depends on what mood you're in, what you actually say. You might just say no now, but when under pressure, you might just say yes. That's the problem with that. See, there would have been a better mantra, in my opinion. Just say never. It's a heart issue that you keep, and that's what we need to do with our faith. So if you're saying, I'm going to just say no to adultery, I'm not sure that's the best mindset. Because in a moment of weakness or when you're just not thinking at all, you might blow it. But the Christian who purposes in their heart to say, I'm not going to defile myself with what I've learned in the word is called sinful and bad. If you're purposed, you say, I will never do that. That changes the game. So the keeping, that's what Jesus talks about. And that brings us to the third people group, the keeping issue, because there's something that wants to rob you. What is that? The thorns. He says here in verse 18, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and then the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. What's that? Well, the seed is sown in good soil, and it starts to bring forth this plant, Jesus says, but the problem is the thorns come up and choke it out, and it doesn't bring out any fruit at all. What are the thorns that Jesus is in? It's the cares of this world, the lusts of this world, the things that you crave and desire that are full of sin. And that's the quickest way to choke out any good fruit. So that's why we need to be those who keep the word and just say never, and purpose in our hearts to take the word that we learn, the word that we hear, and hang on to it for dear life, and don't let the thorns come and choke it out. Well, finally, Jesus says here, the last group, well, this is the one you want. It says in verse 20, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. Man, if you're wanting to be fruit producing, if you want to be a person who's letting the word do its work in your life, you got to take Moses' word for it. Take even better yet, Jesus' word for it, and realize that, man, we got to be careful with the seed that's sown in our hearts to let it bring forth good fruit. Now, I want to remind you, the problem is not with the seed itself. Some people make this mistake. Oh, the Bible, I don't understand the Bible. It's too confusing, and oh, I don't know, it's such an ancient book. And the problem is not the seed of the word. Trust me on this one. The problem is the soil of our hearts. If you're one who says, I don't understand the Bible, that's why we're here. We're here, and if you stick with it, we'll go through the Bible. And you know what's so fun now that the church is getting older? Some of you have been through the Bible with me one time through. We've gone through the Bible together. And it's not that we have it all down or figured it all out, far from that. But you know what's kind of fun is there's nothing that totally freaks us out anymore about the Bible. People ask you, what's the book of Isaiah about? It's a crazy book. But if you go through it and you hang out with us, and we'll see, wow, it's actually an amazing book that points to Jesus Christ in a powerful and an amazing way. And we learn and we grow, and it's the way to be bringing good fruit. So I invite you to come to Athey Creek with a heart to hear the word, to learn the word, to keep it in your heart, guard it. Don't let the thorns choke it out, but also then to be doers of the word. That's the goal. That's the hope. By the way, if there's one little seed that hits the soil of your heart today, one little seed, that is if you have yet to accept Christ. You may have gone to church all your life. That doesn't necessarily mean that your sins are washed away. It doesn't necessarily mean you're saved. Well, Brett, I think going to church makes me a Christian. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. But Romans 10, 9, and 10 tells you what it means to be saved. It says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that God raised him up from the dead, that is, for your sins, implication, you recognize you're a sinner, and Jesus died for your sins. It says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the grave, it says you will be saved. So what makes you a Christian is that confession and belief in your heart, faith. My prayer is if you've yet to do that, that if any single seed hits the soil of your heart and takes root deeply, that's the one that I hope really hits. More than anything else, that you're saved, that you confess Christ. Would you bow your heads, please, as we close this morning? If you're a Christian, would you be praying right now? Because I'm just going to take a minute and invite anyone who's willing to confess. Maybe you thought you were a Christian because you thought good thoughts, or you went to church, or you did this or that. That's not what saves. But if you're one who says, I want to accept Christ and confess with my mouth, I'd like to do that with you right now. I won't embarrass anybody or make you do anything weird or crazy, but right where you're sitting, you and I can pray a prayer of confession of faith, and you can be saved and forgiven for all your sins. And if that's you, with everybody else kind of praying and heads bowed, if that's you, would you simply let me know and really boldly letting the Lord know that you're willing to say, I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. I want to be a Christian. Lord, how glad I am for that confession. It's so easy, and yet we know it didn't come easy. It took that radical work that you did on the cross on our behalf. We don't take that lightly, but we are thankful. Thank you for saving us and forgiving our sins. And I pray, Lord, as we go our way today, that we'd consider our hearts, that the soil of our heart would be ready to receive the seed of your word, that we'd hear and learn, keep and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Well, may the Lord bless you this week. May you walk in his truth, and may his word be on your hearts this week. In Jesus' name, before you go, you got to give somebody a big hug, and then you can be dismissed. God bless you guys.
We encourage you to take advantage of our media ministry by visiting us at atheycreek.com anytime. There we have all of Pastor Brett's Bible studies available as a free download.